with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God's word, let's pray for his help to hear this and receive it. Great God, do enable us again this morning as we seek to, first of all, understand this passage that is complex in some ways. We pray that you'd give us clarity of thought. But beyond that, Lord, may we not just know it better, but really believe it, really trust it, really grab on to the beauty and the hope that it delivers to us. And from that, Lord, we pray that you would change us. We pray that you would be at work right now in this part of your body, in this little church. Lord, be at work changing us so that we would be a people building each other up in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've been looking at this passage, I think this is maybe the third, fourth sermon that I've preached on Ephesians chapter 4. We've been noting that Paul is focusing on unity in the church. And he's not really talking about unity in the church at large, although that's definitely in some way in his vision and connected to what he's saying. But really what he's addressing most directly is unity in the local body, is the need for us to manifest the fact that God has brought us together in Jesus Christ in an actual concrete local face-to-face community. So in other words, this isn't something that we just consider unity in the church and we think, oh, this is about denominations and that sort of thing. It certainly affects that kind of thinking. It's got implications for how we think about unity in the church at large. But the challenge here, the immediate thing that Paul is dealing with here, is the guy next to you, is the person sitting right in front of you, and how you're living with them, how you're in fact loving them, how we are bound together, bearing with one another in love, in real concrete relationships and community. Unity in the church. Now, it's something I think we can very easily recognize to be important. We want to be unified in the group that we belong to. I mean, disagreement is uncomfortable. It can be stimulating. It can actually be helpful in some ways, but ultimately, disunity, not really being connected to each other, is incredibly uncomfortable and even destructive. So it's not hard for us to realize the importance of this topic, right? Unity in the church. It's something that we all want. But we do, I think, need to realize that the importance of this topic, the importance of unity in the local church, goes way beyond us just being comfortable with each other. It goes way beyond a social sort of peace in the body of Christ. It's far more important than that. In fact, it's so important that we can actually say it's at the heart of where God is taking the universe. Unity in the local church, unity is at the heart of where God is taking the universe. The plan of God that he planned in eternity, that he came up with before time began, that he's working out in Jesus, that he's working out now through the church that will be brought to completion in heaven, central to that plan is the fact of unity. Just look back with me to the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Look back at Ephesians chapter 1, or just listen to these words because we'll hit it quick. Paul says that God has blessed us in making known his plan to us. And he says this is part of what he's made known to us. Ephesians 1 verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Now note, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. See what Paul's saying there? This is how important unity is. It's the culmination of the plan of God. If you don't think unity in the church is of the utmost importance, the Apostle Paul would say, you're not in touch with heaven. You're not in touch with heaven. You're not in touch with something basic to the wonderful thing that God has accomplished in Jesus Christ. Unity. The beautiful future that we look forward to in glory in heaven. The great thing that Jesus has purchased by the sacrifice of his own life. The thing that's going to be celebrated forever and ever and ever and bring us tremendous joy and glorify God, that has begun to show up. It's sprouting. It's showing up ahead of time, so to speak, in the church, in our unity. So, yeah, it's important, right? It's cosmic in its importance. So what the Apostle Paul has done is called us to this unity, and then as we started last week noting, he's been working out for us how we grow in that unity. How we grow in that unity, and there's three basic parts to how we grow in that unity. We looked at the first one last week. We grow in that unity, firstly, by the gifts provided by our victorious King. We grow in unity by the gifts that Jesus, the one who's conquered death and accomplished our salvation, we grow in the gifts that Jesus, our King, pours out upon us. It's part of the victory, in other words, he shares with us. Jesus laid down his life to accomplish something great, to defeat an enemy, to secure a victory. And Paul says it's that Jesus who shares his victory with us by giving us certain gifts that promote and develop our unity. Now, we noted last week that those gifts cover everything that he's provided to each one of us and all the ways that he uses us in each other's lives. But he starts with a focus in this passage upon the gifts that involve speaking the word of God, revealing the word of God. And as we noted last week, this is because it's those gifts that serve as the foundation and fuel for all the other gifts. It's not because the person who has a gift of revealing, communicating the word of God is any better than a person who's got another type of gift, whatever that gift may be. It's not like that. He focuses on those gifts first as having a sort of a priority because they support and fuel all these other gifts. And they fuel these other gifts, as we noted, by growing us in the truth. And this is where we come to the second sort of stage of Paul's description of how we grow in unity. We grow in unity by these gifts given by the victorious King that communicate to us the word of God and do something very specific. They grow us up into Jesus. They grow us up into Jesus. So note verse 15. By speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. By speaking the truth in love, these gifts that are revealing the word of God, by speaking that truth, the truth of Jesus, we grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So notice that these gifts that communicate truth don't communicate any old truth. It's not just truth in general. The gifts that communicate the word of God, the pastors and the teachers, do not grow us in unity because these guys are really good motivational speakers. And they've learned the techniques that we can employ to build unity. That's not where Paul goes here. And this is something really important for us to recognize. Paul says these gifts that deliver truth to us grow us in unity because first and foremost, it's not about instructing us in any technique, although that will come. It's first and foremost not about motivating us to action, although that comes. It's first and foremost about building us up into Jesus. That's the focus of these gifts. Our natural assumption might be that we grow in unity primarily by being told how to be united, good advice on how we can accomplish it, on how we can do it. Isn't that sort of a natural assumption for us? Jesus builds us in unity. How? By pouring out these gifts on his church. What are those gifts? Gifts of people being able to communicate truth. Oh, I know what that truth must be if the ultimate goal is unity. It's going to be what we need to do. It's going to be communicating the techniques and motivating us towards a particular type of behavior. That's obviously the next step, isn't it? What we need to grasp is that step comes, but it's not the focus of these gifts. It's not the main way we grow in unity, and in fact, it's not the main way we grow in any part of our Christian life. The way we grow is always by growing up into Jesus. Always. All Christian change happens first not at the level of behavior. All Christian change happens as we grow into Jesus. So what exactly does that mean? What does it mean? Verse 15, what does it mean that we will grow up in every way into him who is the head. This is where growth is found, growing up into Jesus. Not in me employing some new technique or just building up motivation. So what does it mean that I grow up into Jesus? Well, firstly, there's three main things. It means that we grow in knowledge. I'm going to hit this one quick because we hit it last time. And that's very clear in the passage, isn't it? We grow up into Jesus by growing in our knowledge about Jesus. Paul said it back in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Christian growth happens as we grow up into Christ, and that means in the first place, we flat out and quite simply learn more about him. We learn more about him. All of us need to be pursuing that. All of us need to be hungry to know that the key to a changed life, the key to actual transformation deep down, the key to being more loving, to being more joyful, the key to having more peace, the key to every good thing in the Christian life comes as we know about Jesus more. It is the case that there are a lot of doctrinal questions and discussions and issues that are not super important. It is the case that there are doctrinal disagreements that are a complete and utter waste of time. This is not a call to say, oh, if anyone raises a doctrinal issue or any book is put out there on doctrine, then, it's got to be massively important. But it is to say that even though not all doctrinal discussion is helpful even, doctrine remains really immensely important. If you are a Christian, you are called to give yourself to this. Why? Because Christ is giving it to you. Through these gifts that build you up in every way into him, which at bare minimum and in a foundational sense means knowledge of the Son of Man. You know Jesus better. But it, of course, it doesn't stop at knowledge. Or we should say, with knowledge of Jesus, with knowledge of Jesus that is worth anything, that is not merely the memorization of facts or knowledge in a very limited sense like that, with real proper knowledge of Jesus comes the second element of what it means that we grow up in every way into him, and that is we trust Jesus more. We grow in our trust. To grow up in every way into him means knowing him better and trusting him more. In fact, I think it's clear that the Apostle Paul doesn't think of knowing Jesus and trusting Jesus as being kind of separate things when he's talking to Christians. In the book of Ephesians, he wants us to grow in knowledge automatically because he wants us to grow in our hope. He wants us to grow in our confidence in Jesus. So hear the words at the end of chapter 1, where he's relating to us what he prays for in the church. And he prays that God would give us better understanding so that we would grow in hope. Just listen to these words from chapter 1, verse 17. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now note, here's why. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. You see what he's doing there? He's saying, I want God to bless you with greater knowledge. Not of the merely intellectual type, But I'm talking about you grabbing onto something with your heart, which means your mind, your affections, your desire. It means you trusting, grabbing on with your heart to the hope that you've been called to, that the hope that you've been given in Jesus, which is to say, what you can put your confidence in, what you can count on, what you draw your comfort from. I want you to grow in knowledge because I'm talking about you opening up with your heart and placing all of your confidence and your comfort on the anchor that is Jesus Christ. And that's what trust really is, isn't it? When we talk about trusting something in a really fundamental sense, when we're talking about trusting Jesus for sure, we're talking about him being the anchor of our confidence and our comfort. We're talking about him being the anchor of what gives us confidence, what gives us stability and peace, what gives us the ability to say, I am okay. And what comforts us in our pain, what comforts us in our difficulties, what comforts us in our sin even. Jesus is the anchor of our confidence and comfort. That's what it means to trust in him. And that's what Paul wants us to grow in. To know Jesus better means to have facts about him by which you trust him more and more. Paul talks about it in the book of Colossians in this way. Let me just read to you a couple verses from the book of Colossians. He says this, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. This is a passage that very much relates to and reflects our passage in Ephesians. And what he's saying is, with all that talk about these people giving themselves to festivals and new moons, asceticism and the worship of angels, all of those things, he's talking about false things that people put their confidence in. And he's saying, don't let people judge you because you're not putting your confidence, you're not gaining comfort from these rituals and these false actions that on the surface might appear to be very religious, very pious, and they claim are very powerful, but they're putting their trust in that rather than in Christ and not holding fast to the head, because it's from him that the whole body, nourished and knit together, grows with the growth that is from God. You see, for Paul, to grow up in every way into him means we know and we trust him. It means we trust him more. I want to sit on this for a minute because it's so important. I want to sit on this issue of trusting Christ more. That involves for us putting off certain things, as Paul just mentioned in Colossians 2 that we read, not trusting in certain things, rejecting those things, and instead turning to Jesus. Not trusting in certain things and instead turning to Jesus. So, for example, in our relationship with God, we are to turn away from what? We're to turn away from any and everything we might do and turn completely to Jesus as our confidence and as our comfort that we've been made right with God. This is the heart of the Christian message. You turn from trusting in the idea that you're making yourself good. You turn from the idea that you do something to please God. You turn from finding any confidence in yourself, any comfort from you and your obedience. And you turn wholly to Jesus and put all of your confidence and trust in him. And here's the good news. The good news is all of your confidence and all of your comfort for being made right with God can be put on Jesus, because Jesus provides absolutely everything that we need to be confident before God that we're embraced by him, to be comforted with the fact that no matter how much we've sinned and no matter how little we've actually obeyed God, no matter, we can be comforted with the knowledge that we are perfectly accepted by God, that our future is not him condemning us. Our future is him embracing us. Why? Because of Jesus alone. It's all found in what Jesus has done for us. So back in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul says, so important is Jesus for us, so complete is Jesus for us as our basis for confidence and comfort. He says that our salvation is a matter of God raising us up with Jesus Christ. He says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, no ability to put any confidence or comfort in ourselves, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. It can't be any clearer, can it? The Christian is one who is called to. The Christian is one who is blessed to put off any confidence or comfort in what we do, and to look to Jesus and say, all of our confidence and comfort can come from him. We're not saved by anything we do. We are saved because Christ has done everything we need. That's what it means to grow up into Jesus. Trust him more. Trust him more as the complete Savior, the perfect Savior. This is true in our relationship with God. Quickly, but relevant to our passage, it's true in our relationship with each other, isn't it? For membership in the body of Jesus, our confidence and comfort, we need to turn away from our fitness, how well we think we fit in socially, how good we think we are. And we turn to the fact that we belong to this group because of Jesus. And all because of Jesus. Our confidence and comfort as members of the body of Christ is not in the fact that we've done enough, we've proven ourselves good enough to be a part of this club. It comes from the fact that we trust in Jesus. That and that alone, as Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the one that binds us together. And just real quickly, the flip side is also true, right? That means that we in the church can never reject or push out those who are trusting in Jesus, however messed up, however problematic, however weak, however annoying, however awful. Our confidence and our comfort is in Jesus as the body of Christ. But this is not limited to our relationship with God, this trusting in Jesus. It's not limited to our relationship with God. It's not limited to our relationship with each other. Growing up into Jesus means trusting him also for every single thing in our lives. It means trusting him because he touches, and the truth of what he's done for us touches on absolutely everything. In other words, it means turning away from trusting in our earthly circumstances. It means turning away from trusting in things like our physical health. It means turning away from trusting even in really great things like our family relationships. Turning away from those as the anchors of our confidence and our comfort. All of these, the good things that we're blessed with in our life are going to bring us confidence and comfort. I mean, if they're good, they'll automatically bring us confidence and comfort. But growing up into Jesus means more and more, he takes over being the full, real, ultimate, strong source of our confidence and comfort, such that whatever happens with regard to our earthly circumstances, whatever amount of money we lose, whatever family member the Lord takes from us, whoever might betray us, we are not destroyed. We have confidence and comfort because we belong to Jesus. That's the defining fact of our life. Do you remember how Paul modeled this for us in Ephesians chapter 12? I mean, excuse me, in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul admits the fact that he is in a situation of suffering. He is a prisoner of the Lord. And he admits that it's suffering. He admits that it stinks. But he models for us the fact that there are other facts. There are the facts of what Jesus has done for him. There are the facts of what Jesus has secured for him. There are the facts of the reality that is now his reality because he belongs to Jesus. There are those facts, the facts of Jesus for him. And those facts, the facts of Jesus for him, override these other earthly facts. This fact of suffering. In other words, he portrays the fact. He pictures for us the fact that the anchor of his confidence and comfort is in Jesus, even in terrible suffering. So he said in verse 1 of chapter 3, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. A prisoner for Christ Jesus. And then he says this, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me. And he goes on to say, in verse 13, I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. He says, I am a prisoner for Christ Jesus. I am suffering actually because of Christ Jesus. But guess what? The fact is that because of Christ Jesus for me, my situation and your situation is actually one of glory. I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. That's what it means to grow up in every way into Christ Jesus. It means we grow in our trust in him such that we're not establishing our lives on our circumstances, but we are able, even in the midst of suffering, to say, you know what defines me? I'm in the midst of suffering, but because I belong to Jesus, there's glory here. His facts, the facts of what he's done, override every other fact. Think with me how radically different an approach to growth in the Christian life this is from what we might naturally think. Growth that is growing up into Jesus, knowing and trusting him more, is so different from growth that says instruction, method, telling you what to do, commands are at the heart of it. It's so different from thinking that Jesus does something for us, but then he sort of gets out of the way, and after equipping us somewhat to do good things and to grow into him, he sort of tells us to be off and on you go and get at it. But he's at a distance. I run into this all the time. I run into this in my heart. I run into this into other people. We think growth as a Christian means I've taken something that Jesus has given me, and then I get to work myself. And it pleases Jesus. Jesus likes it when I prove I'm going to do something now for him. I can now contribute, Jesus. Watch me, Jesus, bring something back to you. Watch me go. And Paul's saying here, no, it's the opposite of that. You don't grow by running off from Jesus into independence. You grow by more and more growing up into Jesus, being more dependent upon him, taking more from him, relying upon him more. That's real Christian growth. It's not growth that puts obedience first and then approach to God second. Jesus doesn't say, obey me and then come to me. He says, come to me. Come to me. Be saved by me fully, and then you're going to obey. And so this leads us to the last part of what it means to grow up into Jesus. It means transformation. It means we are changed in our characters. It means we are changed in our behavior. It's a fullness of life that is different because we belong to Jesus. So I'm not wanting to leave off transformation. I'm wanting you to understand how transformation happens. It happens into Jesus. It happens as we grow in knowing him more. It happens as we grow in trusting him more. And then being connected to Christ in those ways, he forms us more and more to look like his body. So that's how Paul ends the verse in verse 15 there. He says, we grow up into him, grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We are growing up in a way that makes us look more and more like Jesus himself. But that comes through knowing him better. That comes through trusting him more. I call you to that. And I comfort you with that. I call you to pursue growth the right way. Dig into doctrine. Please read your Bibles. I think we have such a pride in thinking we've got it all figured out in that. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, but I looked at the catechism when I was a kid and I'm fine now. And I plead with you to grow in Christ by trusting him. Don't step away from him onto obedience, but grow up into him by relying upon him more and more and knowing that he's got everything you need and it touches your whole life. Put your confidence in him. Be comforted by him. Not in the passing crap of this world. Not even in the good things of this world. And from that, expect and look for transformation in behavior. Let's beg him to make us look more and more like him because we belong to him. That's how we grow toward unity. We'll look at the last part next week. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, we're convicted that we do not pursue growth in the right ways. In rebellion against you, we turn it into tricks and techniques. So we beg now, Lord, that you would turn us from that and lead us to grow up into the head, into Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the comfort that brings, because that means at the end of the day, when all of our tricks and techniques fail us and we are worn out from our own efforts, and they inevitably lead to our failure and fatigue, we thank you that our hope is not lost, because our hope is not in us, it is in Jesus. So as we've been challenged this morning to put off the wrong trust and to put on trust in Jesus, give us the joy that comes from that. Give us the celebration that comes from knowing in Jesus is all we need. And we pray that in his name, amen.